Hello, Royals fans, and welcome once again to the podcast Inside Athletics. I'm Dave King, Director of Athletics at EMU, and I want to welcome you to this week's broadcast. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you're enjoying the warm weather again. A couple of highlights that I want to mention this week. First of all is last week when I was taping the podcast, we were just about ready to release the name of our head baseball coach, but I don't think I was able to do it out of an agreement. If you've checked the website, you've seen that we have recently named Ben Spotts as our new baseball coach. It turned a few eyebrows around here in the Valley because Ben Spotts has been associated with Bridgewater College for 18 years, including four as a player and then 14 as a coach, as an assistant coach. If you know anything about the baseball program at Bridgewater College, Kirk Kendall, the head coach there, who's also a good friend of mine and the athletic director, surpassed 600 wins this year and is certainly touted as one of the top coaches in the state. And so for us to be able to get a person like Ben Spotts, who played for, learned from, and has been coaching with someone like Kirk Kendall, really raised a few eyebrows around here. I guess most people are wondering whether he can wear blue and white rather than red and gold that they wear at Bridgewater. But he has assured me that blue and white were his high school colors, so he'll probably do just fine. Just a little bit of background on Ben. During his coaching time, he's worked in the residence halls over there. He's been the director of NCAA compliance. He's done a lot of things off the field as well. He's been doing their baseball academic tracking, or BAT, program, which oversees the academic success of the baseball players. I've been involved in residence life and judicial affairs. He graduated from Bridgewater College and has a master's degree in kinesiology with an emphasis in athletic administration and coaching from JMU. During his time as an assistant coach, the Bridgewater Eagles won 5 ODAC championships, made 6 regional appearances in the tournament. He's been the recruiting coordinator because of the fact that head coach Kirk Kendall is the athletic director as well. And Ben has been responsible to recruit 17 all ODAC first team players and 3 ODAC Rookie of the Year award winners. So he certainly knows the recruiting trail is known around the state by high school coaches, showcase people, et cetera. And I think that's one of the things that really attracted us to him. We are very appreciative of the job that Jason Stuhlmiller did as an interim coach and can keep the program going along. To the best of our knowledge, there's not going to be any loss of players, and actually perhaps an increase as well, as Ben has continued to recruit since being named last week and has been making contact with recruits that are still out there, still looking for a place to play, as well as the current players as well. So we are very excited about what he will bring to us and the possibilities of turning the program around. And I'll give one little side note, and I'll touch on this a little bit later. If you happen to read the article from the Daily News Record, you'll maybe recognize the fact that the information about Ben's hiring came out in bits and pieces, unfortunately, as we tried to keep the lid on things and do it in an agreeable way between Bridgewater. But the information that Jason Stuhlmiller was not retained as the permanent coach got out before we were permitted to announce Ben as the new coach. And some of the social media sites got pretty negative in terms of some of the recruits and current players' attitudes toward myself as well as the university in not retaining Jason as the head coach, only to find that when the name was given of Ben Spotts as being the one hired, most of those tweets and Facebook things were taken down, and the attitude seemed to change. However, the one thing that some young people don't seem to understand is when you put it out there, it's out there, and it's out there forever. So we're going to use that perhaps as a teaching tool in the social media and how that can and can't be used. I certainly understand the feelings of some of the players in terms of recognizing that we did not retain Jason, but also was pleased to see that some of their attitudes turned around, but it also brought to mind the impact that social media can have. We are continuing to develop the plans for the new dugouts and backstop and permanent seating. How quickly that comes around will be how quickly we can get some fundraise for it, volunteer labor to put it in. Our goal would be to try to have new dugouts in for the 2013 season. However, in talking to Ben and some of the other people involved, it could be that we wait until the entire project can be funded and the energy start to gain with Ben's leadership here in the program. We've had many, many positive comments from people in the Valley about moving in this direction with someone with as much experience, although he's not been a head coach, but certainly with as much experience, as much knowledge of the game, as many connections here in the Valley. That's exactly what we wanted for the program. So I wanted to update you on that. Ben will be starting next week full-time with us. He'll be in charge of taking care of the field as well. Jeff Tyson, our women's volleyball coach, also starts next week, and he's been in town, and he's excited about getting started. He'll also be working in the fitness center. Our search continues for men's volleyball coach, and that search will continue throughout the month of July, at least. The golf program is up and running. It's looking like we're going to be heading close to 8 or 10 guys on the team. We do need some more golfers on the women's side, so get that word out if you're listening and can spread the word to people who may be interested, women who may be interested in playing on the golf team. I wanted to make just a couple of comments yet today, again, going back to a subject that I picked up before, and that has to do with the role of parents in younger children as they participate in sports. And I was prompted to do that when I read the Lancaster newspaper this morning, Lancaster, Pennsylvania newspaper, the Intelligencer Journal, Lancaster New Era, it's called. Having lived in that area for a long time, I guess I can't quite get enough of it. So typically on a morning, I'll scan through the online edition of the Intel. And there was a column this morning on is it possible to love your children too much? And so I was intrigued by that. And while we've heard an awful lot about the helicopter parent, this particular columnist, and unfortunately I don't have his name right here in front of me, came up with another one. He says that there are two types of parents that are infecting athletics. One is the helicopter parents and the other is the lawnmower parent. I was intrigued with his concept of lawnmower parents. He goes on to explain that lawnmower parents, and I quote, will mow down anything in their children's path to make it as smooth of a journey as possible. These types of parents join in with like-minded parents to railroad a coach out of his job. They'll berate an opposing coach because of a perceived slight to their child. They'll park outside of a coach's house, harass his family, and make it miserable that the coach needs to escort an escort to the team bus in order to be protected from verbal abuse. And he's come to this conclusion, to the conclusion that this epidemic may ruin sports. And he's also concluded that these acts are coming from fully functioning adults. And he goes on to explain some of his reasons. I was intrigued by the lawnmower parent concept because it does give a little bit of a different twist to the helicopter parent that we have talked about before in terms of hovering over. And I'm beginning to agree on my short information with this term lawnmower parent. But I'm beginning to agree and to understand that that is one of the things that perhaps parents of young children want to do. And that is make the path as smooth as possible, not having any hindrances in them trying to achieve the goals that they want to achieve or that they as parents want their children to receive. There are probably three or four reasons why this is true, and some of these I touched on before. The first is, of course, living vicariously through their children. We've talked about that one before. Also, the entitlement that comes once they've spent a certain amount of money. The third is that they actually think their child is better than anyone else that's out there because it's difficult for them to be a good judge of talent. And because they are so emotionally invested in their child, then their own identity is linked to their success. But I am concerned about the issue of this lawnmower parent who tries to mow everything down to make it possible for them to achieve their goals and not have any bumps and hurdles. It's interesting to me that when we think about some of the ways in which we've related to our children, and I think about when your child first begins to walk, how much there is an encouragement. you can do it. Come on, you can do it. And come to me and come to me and all of the exciting thing that goes on when that child begins to take their first steps. You never hear a parent say, come on, get up, do it again. Come on, you can do better than that. And yet when it comes to a sporting event, when they're now 9 or 10 or 11, our sense of encouragement shifts to somewhat of a negativity. And we begin to start to be more critical of it rather than being more supportive. And one of the things that shifts, I believe, is we shift our criticism of our children away from them at times and shift it over towards the coaches and the other people that are involved in that process. So I would encourage people to consider allowing their children to fail, allowing their children to have the bumps in the road. If you're an adult listening to this, you probably can recognize the times when you had struggles in your own life, when you got a bump along the way, when you fell down and hurt yourself, when you didn't quite meet the expectations that someone else had. Trying and failing is one of life's greatest lessons. You find out a little bit about who you are as an individual, but mostly you find out who is around you to support you and help you achieve the next time around. And lawnmower parents who are out in front of their children, pushing everything aside so that the way is smooth, will probably be cast in doing that for the rest of their lives. That's one of the things that I'm not sure parents recognize, is the more that the lawnmower parent mows things out of their way and prepares the wide path for their child to go down, as a child in the sporting world is probably going to find themselves doing that very same thing later in life, whether it be in a marriage relationship, community involvement, job possibilities, interview process, no matter what it is. Unfortunately, that concept of preparing the way and making it smooth for your child is not going to stop, in my opinion, with just sports. So keep that in mind if you're a parent of a young child and you're getting started in that process. Keep in mind what role you can play. Determine whether or not you find yourself being a helicopter parent or a lawnmower parent. Either one can create some real difficulties for your child, and I encourage you to take a serious look at that. Well, thanks for joining us. Next week, I plan to have Mike Downey, our athletic trainer, with us. He is attending a conference this week on concussions, and if you've followed sports at all, you'll know that from the little league level all the way to the professional level, particularly in a football, the whole issue of concussion is really starting to become a prominent one that we all have to deal with. We are also finding maybe a comparative part is the amount of insurance that an athlete needs to carry before they're eligible to play. NCAA is also increasing. And something new that started last year and continues is the requirement to be tested for the sickle cell trait. So I'm going to have Mike Downey on next week, and we'll look at some of those issues related to the that effect. And another area that I want to look at later on will be a training, not the medical training piece, but also training out of season and what it takes to prepare to play. And I hope to have my guest, Mike Martin, on there. So that's a little bit of an update is what we'll be doing. Thanks for tuning in. I hope that you have a wonderful 4th of July. If you're on vacation, enjoy the sand, the beach, the mountain, or wherever you happen to be, riding your bike, canoeing, or whatever you're doing. Enjoy it. And once again, until we talk next week, I invite you to make it a great week.